Good morning. It is with great pleasure that I introduce Reverend Bob Carlson. Reverend Carlson is a retired UCC minister and currently resides at Royal Oaks here in Sun City. He has been a guest minister in our church many times and always has some thought-provoking sermons to share with us. His sermon today is Gifted! ! Please welcome Reverend Bob Carlson.
Thank you, you did it fine.
Was that okay?
Great. I don't know why they put me out here in left field. I probably would do better in the middle. Or the far right, I'm not quite there. But in the middle, I'm okay. But I hope you're okay with me being in left field this morning. Before we begin on reading the scripture, I want to say to you how good it is to be here with you. Millie and I always look forward when we're invited to join you in this sanctuary because you're home folk. You're very, very much like family. And we appreciate you and care about you and are looking forward to your future under a new leadership when Gary retires. So thank you for this invitation to be with you. And I hope what I have to say will be helpful on your spiritual journey. What we're going to do is read the scriptures. I have two scriptures. You know, this is kind of nice. I can sit back here and kind of lean. Oh, it's comfy. I like us to read together the scriptures. And if that is possible, let's do it together, shall we? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. By the fruit of the Spirit, now this is going to be Galatians before we begin it, and these are the fruits of God's Spirit. And when you see and hear and feel them, you know you're in the Spirit of God's love. Now, let's find out what the fruits of that Spirit are, shall we? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen to that. What I have to share with you today, I would not have done so 30 years ago. My seminary training told me you never, ever talk about yourself before a congregation. Well, I've listened to many pastors talk about themselves since then. And now I understand that that helps to personalize the faith, our faith. My homiletics professor probably would give me an F for this message back then. But today, I want to talk to you about an experience I had in my ministry, which I truly believe has made me a better pastor to be with you this morning. I want you to join me in thought to the 1970s. It's several weeks before Easter, and we're living in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, a community called Pepper Pike. Say that and not spit, it's hard. Pepper Pike. I was the senior pastor of the United Church of Christ there, and the phone rings, and it's the moderator of the church calling for the Carlsons to come to his home for a meeting along with many of our lay leaders to discuss how best to grow the church. Now, everybody, I'm sure every one of you here this morning wants to see the church grow. And as a pastor, I am especially interested in seeing the church grow. I call this event the mansion meeting because our moderator lived in a formal two-door mansion in Shaker Heights, Ohio. And if you're familiar with that territory, you know that Shaker Heights is very affluent, as is Pepper Pike communities. Well, Millie and I obeyed and we went to the meeting, expecting a nice conversation about the life of the church and how we can best grow. The living room was huge, and clusters of chairs here, clusters of chairs there. And I wanted so badly for us all to kind of come together, get closer. But we were like swallows in a barn. And I felt uncomfortable. Millie and I were sitting on a little settee in one section, and then all the others were in other sections. And the moderator began the meeting with these words. Well, we're here tonight to evaluate Bob Carlson's ministry. Huh? Evaluate Bob Carlson's ministry as to why we're not growing. Right then and there, I was ready to leave the meeting. Here are the reasons we're not growing as they looked at their leadership. Number one, my shoes were not wingtips. Wingtips is the formal shoe, and I had buckle shoes. Oh, brother. Your socks don't always match your outfits, Bob. You're just too folksy in the pulpit. Now, this is a very academic congregation, and we need deep-seated thoughts from your brain. We need more academic attention to your sermons. And there are other trivia things that they mention, but by now, I was deeply hurt And Millie was deeply mad. Good for her. Well, when the meeting was over, I wore my hurt on my shirt sleeve all week long. It's getting close to Easter. And how dare they treat me this way? A church that I thought loved me. I thought I loved them too, but maybe I didn't, at least not at this moment. By the way, can you all hear me okay? Good? Okay. So, Holy Week arrives. It's Maundy Thursday. And I had created a service in the dining room with the tables arranged in the form of a cross and candles on the table. And it was a very ethereal, beautiful setting. And at the head of the cross was an empty chair. And I had placed it there as a symbol of the presence of God's Spirit among us, seated among us and with us. Well, I tried to make the service as meaningful as possible. And after the service was over, a lady from the mansion meeting came up to me and gave me a big kiss on my cheek and said, "Oh, Bob, that was such a beautiful service. Oh, thank you." And my response was, "I know somebody else who was kissed, betrayed. Betrayed by a kiss." Easter came and went. I was pretty much depressed throughout the that week. But the Wednesday following Easter, we had planned a trip to Canton, Ohio, to visit a church that was growing. We had several of these churches lined up to visit, to see and prod what it is they were doing that was helping them grow. So we went. I did not want to go, because there were going to be a number of the leaders that were at the mansion meeting at this gathering. But my precious, beloved wife reminded me, "Bob, you're the pastor. You must go. We're going together." So I went. And I didn't realize when we got there that it was a healing service. Didn't know that at all. In fact, we mounted the steps and were given an envelope to put our offering in. Before we even got into the church, I thought, "Oh boy, is that ever crass. When they want my money before they even meet me." And then Pastor Bartow, Don Bartow, got up and spoke, and I thought, "What's so great about this pastor? I think I can preach circles around him." The soul of us was sour. Millie could do a better job of singing than this. You see, everything was out of balance because I was out of balance with the divine. Well, before I knew it, they were announcing that the healing service would begin, and they had arranged to have kneeling benches across the front of the church. And the pastor used the chancel steps as his healing station. And I thought, you know, this really might be interesting. I've always wanted to see a person go down the aisle and throw away their crutches and yell, "I'm healed," and run down the aisle. And I had all sorts of imagery in my brain. That's not what happened. Instead, what I heard was, "Well, if there's anyone who needs healing, it's Bob Carlson." "Huh? Millie, did you say that?" "No. Who? Where'd that come from?" It was like someone sitting right next to me. "If there's anyone who needs healing, it's Bob Carlson." Bob, get yourself right with me. Just like someone sitting in the pew, like you are here now. Well, I tried to force the thoughts away from my brain. And one thing I'm not going to do is go down front with so many people from the mansion meeting here, and especially not up to those steps where the pastor was, where everyone could see me. So I kept fighting these thoughts and acknowledging that, yes, I had been hurting. Yes, I needed healing. So I sat, and we were pretty much to the back of the sanctuary. And there was a healing station at the end of the aisle where we were seated. I could sneak down there. Probably a lot of people wouldn't even see me. So I did so. And wouldn't you know, just before I could get to that healing station, the deacon who was directing the traffic to the different healing stations let the woman take the kneeling bench I had intended to take. Now, where am I directed? Yep, right up the steps. The pastor had an open spot. And I thought, oh dear God, they're all going to see me up here, and oh, what have I done? And I knelt down and began to sob and cry, and really deep-seated sobbing. And Don said, what is it you need, my son? He didn't know who I was. He didn't know I was a pastor. And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I've been hurt. I'm unhappy. I said, you know, you were preaching about the Holy Spirit, and preaching on some of the verbiage we shared from the scriptures this morning. And I said, I guess what I need is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in my life. Ah, his eyes lightened up. He says, that's a great request. I said, I'm just not happy in my ministry. I need to get myself right with God. I was kind of stroked into the ministry. My father is a minister. My sister's ordained. And everyone thought, oh, you have such a nice voice. The people like to hear your voice. And you care about people. And you should go into the ministry. So I went into the ministry, being stroked into the ministry. Not a call as such. As I experienced what was happening, Pastor Bartow placed his hands on my head. And you know, have you ever had anybody have one of these little buzzers in their hands and they bzzz, squeeze it? It was kind of like that. Bzzz. And I felt vibrations, and I opened my eyes and looked up, and he's praying fervently. And I'm shaking, and he's shaking. And now, folks, the only way to describe this, and I apologize for the analogy, but was like the flushing of a commode. And up bubbled the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those nine fruits, they were just bubbling. And I stood up, but I don't remember standing up. I think I flew back to the pew where Millie was, and she leaned over and says, what's happened? What's happened? I said, I don't know, but I sure love you. And there, seating in front of me, was a lady from the mansion meeting, and I threw my arms around her and said, I love you in the love of the Lord. And what happened from that moment on, I was given a directive by the divine. Now, Bob, you must go back and tell everyone who was at the meeting what has happened to you and rejoice with them. Well, for the next several days, I think it's probably maybe a week plus, I made phone calls, I visited offices, homes, and explained what had happened to me, that I had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And my ministry changed radically. Suddenly, the scriptures were so alive to me as I was preaching. It wasn't just, it was, God loves you. I love God. We are God's people. He wants us to be successful. And you know, I had always had as my motto, success is good. But God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. And if we're faithful, then we're successful. I had a hard time learning that. But once it became ingrained in my brain, I followed it. And you know what began to happen? The church began to grow. Not by what I did, but by what others were doing. The laity, you folks, they were getting excited. They could see in me a new creature in Christ. Now, I understand this church is, have you recently been studying the scriptures of Acts? That's what I thought. And that's why I decided to give this message, because Acts is a wonderful book. Acts of the Apostles. Our acts, our actions as believers. I realized that every church, and this is what I would covet now for you people, as you prepare for a new ministry awaiting you, I would pray that you would work hard on discovering spiritual gifts. We all have them. Some have even more than just one or two. But the worst thing that can happen in the life of a church is to put somebody in a position that they don't belong. Well, we at least filled it. But that's not good. That's not good enough for God. God deserves the best in us. And when you can begin to, and there are studies that are available on discovering your spiritual gifts. And if you haven't done this here, I would encourage you sometime in your early ministry with your new pastor to do that. Now I'm going to take a 1 second pause and enjoy my water. You can enjoy it with me. You may think it's water. It is. It is. Well, dear ones, I hope the Spirit has spoken. I am just a channel. And to my dear homiletics professor who said you should never talk about yourself, I'm sorry. But God has told me to tell the story. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. So, dear ones of this congregation, thank you for enabling me to share with you who I am and whose I am. To God be the glory. Amen.